The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, baby.
I'm getting that good afternoon thing down.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
Much better.
I'm really working on it. Hey, so this is Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And together we actually become We the People. Otherwise, we're just knuckleheads.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So, first show of the new year. So, of course, we're going to hold with tradition, and we're going to have Pastor Guy Asherman on from Redding Christian Fellowship. Been a big year for Christian everything, persecution, weird laws, all sorts of stuff around the world and actually in our own country. So while we're waiting for him, because he actually has church until noon, I think it is.
What's up with that?
I know. Dude. I know. He had to stay till the end because he's in front and they would notice if he was missing. His idea, actually, when he got a hold of me a couple weeks ago, was to also have Shelley Gibbs, the executive director for CareNet, on at the same time because, obviously, we've heard tons of stuff about Planned Parenthood, and CareNet is like the alternative to Planned Parenthood, I guess. I'm sure she'll correct me, but in my humble opinion, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
It's the other option.
I kind of like, I put this all on the website, by the way. It's wethepeopleradio.us, and you can find all the information about our guests and how to contact them and stuff we'll be talking about. And I've heard the chat room's having problems, so if you're listening live on Sunday, you may have issues. Folks in Philadelphia and New Jersey, you don't have to worry about that. You can just, you know, sit back and listen. But CareNet and our network of more than 1,100 pregnancy centers offer hope to women facing unplanned pregnancies by providing practical help and emotional support. They have choices. Imagine that. They have options. So the pro-choice people hate their choices, which is kind of funny. But that's kind of the way it always works. So let's see. I had Shelley's bio sitting right here, and now it's missing. Shelley, are you in there? Can you save me from my own fishing trip here through my email that didn't come up as quickly as I needed it? How long have you been the executive director?
I have been for about 3.5 years. I came on staff in late August of 2012, and prior to that, I had been a board member for about 3 years as well.
Yeah, so you decided to come on right when everything was getting
warmed up.
Exciting.
Yeah, and it's just now getting even more exciting. So,
yeah, we have some California laws that are coming up that we weren't really going to go through today just because that kind of leaves the guys on the East Coast hanging, and you guys are involved in that with your organization, so we didn't want to put you in the crosshairs on that. Can you give us an idea of what it is, you know, regardless of position and all that?
Just, as far as the bill that was recently passed, the law?
Yeah, yeah. What
okay, absolutely. All right, well, I'll just speak to that a little bit. If you have any questions in between, just jump in with me. But in essence, a very large organization referred to as NARAL partnered with Planned Parenthood and an assembly then out of District 17 named David Chu. And they had been writing publications over the last few years about kind of what a joke pregnancy centers are. And how because they're not offering all of the options, and what they mean by that is because pregnancy centers are not offering abortion, that they should kind of come at us and say, look, you need to be either offering all of those options, and if you don't, then you need to refer for them. So they put together this bill in which would force all faith-based pregnancy centers across the state of California, and there's approximately 200, some of which are medical and some of which are non-medical. And that's a whole other category of how those are defined. But to say that these 200-plus clinics are fake clinics is what they referred to all of us as. And we were lumped in, I guess they went around and kind of like a secret shopper and investigated some different clinics throughout the state and found a common thread that we weren't offering all of the choices in an appropriate manner. And so this bill then has been passed. It was passed by the Assembly in the summer, later passed by the Senate in the fall, and signed by Governor Brown on Friday, October 9th, that went into law, which is now in effect as of January 1, that states that all pregnancy centers in the state of California must refer for abortions and make sure that every woman has immediate and free access to an abortion and as well as contraception. So it has to be posted. The bill is specific. If you want to go to it's public knowledge. It's AB 775, and it goes through and it talks about the requirements for pregnancy centers. So there is a handful, I would say under 50 of the 200, because we're all separate entities and we're all our own nonprofits. There was not one larger entity that is a class action suit. So as an example, Pacific Justice Institute is representing us. ACLJ is representing other centers. And they would kind of pick and choose who they were going to represent. And there's co-plaintiffs. So these particular pregnancy centers that said, hey, this is a breach of the First Amendment. You can't force us to share this information if it's against our religious beliefs, etc. And then trying to create a platform of actually like, okay, so let's, some of your findings, whether they're true or false or some of them are made up, whatever those are, actually let's have a conversation about them. But to pass a bill without having the conversation, and to say, no, we're not going to talk to you about it, we're just going to force this down your throat. So so far, the suits that have been presented have been denied. So there's many people of these pregnancy centers in California that are saying, okay, what's the next step? So as an example, our chief counselor is Kevin Snyder from Pacific Justice Institute based out of Sacramento, California. And I just spoke with him this last week, and he said, look, we're going to continue to pursue this. I will keep you in the loop. We're not going public with anything yet. So that looks like potentially if there would be an appeal, I can't speak to that. I'm not saying that we're appealing it. In the interim, until we figure out what the next step is, which will be very telling this next week, depending upon, I'll pick on you, Aaron. Say
okay.
That you walked in my pregnancy center,
right,
and you said, I don't see that sign posted. I'm going to go over to the county. I'm going to rat you out. The county then comes back to me if and when they can do that with manpower and says, here is a notice for you, Shelley. And since you don't have it posted, you have 30 days to get this posted. If I don't post it within 30 days, I get a $500 fine. So you come in again and you say, oh, well, it's been 30 days. She didn't post it yet. You go back in, you make a phone call or whatever you do, you tell on me again. They come back and say, not only have you not paid your $500 fine, you haven't posted it, now it's $1,000. And subsequently after that, it stays at $1,000 and fines every pregnancy center that does not adhere to the law.
Wow.
So that's a summary of kind of where we're at and where what all pregnancy centers will be facing this next week as soon as everyone's been closed for the new year. So when we reopen on Monday, it'll kind of be that same vantage point of, okay, just let's see what happens with that.
So what's different? I mean, as far as the new law, is it saying that you have to offer abortions at your facility or that you just have to refer them to somebody who can?
We have to refer.
Okay. Okay.
So,
and that's
the language is pretty specific in that it's, you know, as much as they, I'll say they, I'll lump them all together, but
sure.
As much as they spent the time and the energy, the thousands of dollars or whatever went into lobbying all of this and to getting this pushed through, the statement is fairly small. So as an example, I'm not downsizing it by any means, but they went through all this trouble, and I believe with all of my heart that this is just step one.
Yeah.
So the exact verbiage, I'll just read it to you, that is required by the state of California, that is, you know, been pushed through with law that Governor Brown signed. It says California has public programs that provide immediate, free, or low-cost access to comprehensive family planning services, including all FDA-approved methods of contraception, prenatal care, and abortion for eligible women. To determine whether you qualify, contact, and then we have to fill in our county social service office and the number for that office.
Well, okay, so on one hand, people are probably thinking, well, that's good. So if they don't have the money to do it, they can access that. But that's kind of stupid because your services are free.
Our services are already free, yes,
right.
Absolutely. And if a young girl, and this is another thing with State of California, it's actually coming in for vote again in November of 16, but it's the Parental Consent Act. So right now in the State of California, it is... if you are 12 years old or older, you can walk into the abortion clinic right in Reading or Planned Parenthood and say, I would like an abortion. You don't need proof of income. You don't need an ID. And they have you fill out paperwork for the state family pact. That is the state budget that approves contraception, abortion, etc. So, you know, I'll pick on myself. I have a daughter who's almost 12. You know, in a few months, my daughter can walk in the abortion clinic. If she was sexually active and found herself to be pregnant, and without my knowledge, now she can't take an aspirin at school.
I was just going to say
that. She can't go to
West
Camp.
Yeah.
You know, she can't go to West Camp without a doctor's note with all of the medicine in the prescribed bottle, unopened, given to the nurse. Like, I could go on for days about all that. But she can't do any of those things, but she can walk in off the street. And my tax dollars that I don't have a choice about go into the state family pact budget, and it will pay for my daughter to have an abortion without me ever knowing.
So
the fact that these services are free, I mean, any girl, even kids that are homeless, to be honest with you, they have a smartphone or they've got an Obama phone.
Sure.
They know where to get an abortion. They don't need to come into a pregnancy center that's faith-based to say, oh, well, I want one. Where can I get one? This whole year that this bill has come through and been pushed around, we get fake calls all of the time. We get fake calls and fake emails.
Oh, really?
And we know the difference. Oh, absolutely. We know the difference between when someone is truly seeking help and maybe they're on the fence and they're waning between what they want to do. Maybe they are struggling. Maybe they are homeless. Maybe they are totally unplanned pregnancy. And we do actually talk to them about their options. It's referred to as options counseling. And that's on our website. We talk about that. Like, hey, you've got three options in front of you. You can have this baby. You can put your child up for adoption, and you can have an abortion. Hey, because we are faith-based, we can help educate you on abortion so that you're not going in blind, but we definitely don't refer for them. We're not condoning it, but we want to make sure that you're making the most educated choice for you. What you choose to do is your choice. This is how we can help you. This is what we do. These are our free services. And a girl knows where she can get an abortion. She talks to her best friend, or she talks to her boyfriend, or he drives her down there. You know, every Wednesday in Shasta County is what they refer to as procedure day. You walk in the door, it's free. You know, it's, so if you're under 12 weeks, you can get a free abortion. And so this thing that they're pushing through with the bill, I'm so sorry, I feel like I'm on my soapbox right now. I just get really excited.
No, it's okay. It's kind of a soapbox issue.
It's just so in our faith. And one of the things that's really unique, whether you are a believer or not, this is not a faith-based issue. This goes back to in the beginning of the 19th century or the 20th century, in the early 1900s, when Planned Parenthood was actually established with Margaret Sanger, who was their founder. These clinics were going in the ghetto.
Yeah.
And if you read anything about Margaret Sanger, you can read all of her quotes about how Jews and blacks were just, should be extinguished. So the purpose was to put these clinics in these neighborhoods so that they would stop reproducing and that we could have a clean white race.
Yep, she was a big time eugenicist and
communist. Absolutely.
She was a scary woman. We have to take a really quick break here, and we're going to come right back. I've got your bio now on the website. I put all the stuff about CareNet, and I got so carried away with cutting and pasting, I sort of forgot.
That's all right.
If folks are listening live on Sunday afternoon, you should refresh your page. You can see the rest of the info. You're listening to We the People Radio. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. Special little shout out there to Planned Parenthood. It might be some kind of sinner. Yep, I'll just say it because I'm not a pastor, and I don't work for CareNet, so I can slide that in there. So Shelley, you guys are an alternative, but you provide a lot of the same similar services. You do pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, parenting classes, and it also says here material assistance. So before we get too carried away in the issue itself, you're supported privately, I'm assuming. Donation?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a faith-based nonprofit, so we're just supported by the local community, pastors and churches, business people, anyone that has a vested interest in supporting families in our community in this way.
Okay, so for people who are, you know, there are a lot of people who listen to this and they're mad and it's like, what can I do about it? Support your local CareNet. Are they all called CareNet? Is CareNet the umbrella name over all of them?
They're not all called CareNet. We have the option to choose to be an affiliate, and we have the option to choose to utilize their name. So there are centers all over the state of California, and many of them are CareNet affiliates, but they might have a different name. An example would be Living Well Medical Clinic in Grass Valley, California. They're a CareNet affiliate, but they don't go by the name.
Okay.
Sacramento Pregnancy Center is another example.
So for somebody who doesn't know anything about this stuff, like me, I'm a good example of that, and who, you know, I don't have any young kids anymore or anything. So how would I know if the center in my area that's not called Planned Parenthood, I mean, that's a clue right there. So it's not called Planned Parenthood, so it might be a good one, and I'd like to support it. How would they know?
Whether it was faith-based or not?
Yeah, well, how would they know if it was a good place to, you know, what are some things to look for if it's a good outfit to support or not?
Well, I think that if you have a vested interest and you want to know where your money's going, from a practical standpoint, at the ground level, I think people should just walk in the door. You should walk in the door, ask a couple questions, ask for a tour of the facility, meet some of the team, and look and see, like, okay, what services are you offering? See if they have any type of things that they publish, like if it's a quarterly newsletter, or do they send out an annual Christmas card, or how do they communicate with their donor base? What are their special events? I would attend an event, you know. There's usually, on an annual basis, a Walk for Life that's hosted in the community, as well as some type of fundraising banquet or gala. And so attending an event is a good way to get an overview of the organization and where they're currently at and where they're going, perhaps even some history. And so I would encourage people just to walk in their community and say, hey, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. And even through this bill, we've had many people in the community say, look, this wasn't on my radar, and all these videos that have come out this year, and I want to have an interest. So whether people choose to donate an in-kind donation, like, oh, my kids have outgrown these baby items, I want this to go directly to a family, or they donate, you know, diapers or wipes, or they have a monetary donation. We also do an event throughout the year called a baby bottle drive that businesses and churches host, where you fill up a baby bottle with cash, check, or coin, and you return that back to the center. So that's another way to give on a practical level. Or if you just want a one-time donation, or a lot of donors say, look, I specifically want to give you this money, and I want to designate it toward your baby boutique, or I want this to specifically go toward this family for this reason. So there's many things that come in that we have an option. You know, just recently at Christmas, we had some donors contact us and say, we want to help pay for you people's utility bills. If you know a couple families that are really struggling at Christmas, we'd like to do that. Another donor base came in and said, look, we want to adopt 5 families for Christmas and buy everyone all their Christmas presents. So we don't have a Christmas gift program, but just out of relationship, these things develop. And people say, look, I have a vested interest in who you're serving. I love to see what you're doing and what you're about. So it's a beautiful way to impact the community.
Nice. So for all the people that are thinking, well, all these guys do is talk them out of an abortion, and then they're stuck with a baby they can't handle, you know, if you're helping people with their electrical bill, it kind of sounds like you're doing slightly more than that.
Well, that is a big misconception anyway when you're on, I'll say, at the other side of the fence. And we're not trying to be on one side of the fence or the other. We don't even spend time being against something. This bill came at us hard and strong, And we spend our time and energy, like, helping families. Like, when we have, we barely advertise. We don't have a big, huge marketing budget, you know. It's word of mouth and people finding us on the internet saying, look, where can I get a free pregnancy test? And it starts with that. It's a practical need that needs to be met. Or maybe someone already knows that they want to keep their child. They're not on the fence about what their options are, but they're really struggling financially. They don't feel equipped. Maybe it's their first baby. We are so connected to all the different public government agencies in the city, whether it's the First Five program, WIC program, Nurse Family Partnership, Shasta County Public Health. Like, all of these people come and refer clients to us saying, look, this is how CareNet can help you. This is how it can make an impact. So walking them through their pregnancy, if they're, you know, 15 years old or 18 or 21 or 35, and they might all be in a different season of their life, but maybe they're ill-equipped. So we've got pregnancy education. We've got labor and delivery classes. We've got parenting classes. We do group settings and then one-on-one as well. And so, and it goes on and on. We've got post-abortion counseling as well. So it's something that wherever they're at, we want to meet them where they're at and help them get to that next season of their life and to see them thrive and not be struggling and not be burdened and not be in this cycle of generational poverty and feeling stuck. And a lot of girls, a lot of times, and guys, abortion may be their first option because they know it's free. And to them, it's not a child yet. It's an it, and they can just get rid of it, and they can move on with their life. And there's a lot of repercussions physically, emotionally, spiritually that can happen from that. But that, again, is their choice. We still want to be available to them. Like, hey, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. So whatever you choose, we're gonna be with you and walk you through that choice. So we also have a mentoring program that if someone did choose abortion and they're not doing well, or they just need some extra help, or maybe their test is negative and they're just in a funky season of their life. So kind of just are here in the community, free services with open arms.
Nice. And Bill brought up something during the break. He was, you know, we didn't want to make our time with you actually all about Planned Parenthood, because that completely misses the boat. So I wanted to make sure that we got all that information out, but now we have all these questions. Okay, so a 12-year-old goes into an abortion clinic and goes through with it, does have an abortion, and they have some sort of problem. I mean, what happens to them?
Yeah, what point do they contact the parents? And then who foots the bill for that, and who's responsible?
Well, I can't speak to every detail of that process, only because I am not in the middle of that process, but, you know, intimately involved. I do know that if she does have complications, she can go back to the clinic and they'll do what they can within reason, where let's just say that they didn't get all of the baby out and they need to go back in and take out the rest of the baby and she has an infection. They might prescribe her antibiotics and they're still not going to contact her parents.
Wow.
And that girl is most likely not going to go to her parents or even a medical clinic, say that their family's on Medi-Cal. She knows that Medi-Cal is going to get billed. Mom might get a notification that she went to the doctor. She's not going to go to, you know, Shasta Community Health Center or Hilltop Medical Clinic or her local doctor, for, you know, her main medical provider, because someone's going to find out about that. So a lot of times, when it's all behind the scenes and in secret, if there are complications, and this is all public knowledge, like you can read about the statistics with this, you can read about teenage pregnancies and STDs, 15 to 19 years old, etc. But all of those things that they're exposed to, yeah, let's just keep this in the dark. And if it's such a, you know, it's like a devil's advocate thing. If it's not a dark and dirty thing, why are you hiding it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and if it's so amazing and it's such a powerful choice, then why are you so sneaky about the whole thing? And why are you taking people's money without communicating where that money's going? So it's very unique, and I don't want to spend all our time either talking about this, but
no,
I do want to
just
point out.
Kind of curious, because, you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, they, like me, my kids were little in the 80s, and you just didn't have that.
Right.
Just didn't. I mean, I'm sure it existed out there, but it wasn't as commonplace as it is now. But over this last year, for all those of us who didn't know squeak about Planned Parenthood, I think you only needed to see one of those videos to just absolutely have your, you know, hair blown back. Like, they're doing what?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, and that's actually how I first heard you speak. It was right on the heels of all the videos and all the awareness there, and looking at how we can, you know, take our tax dollars back from things like that. And Bob pointed out.
Many people aren't aware of that.
Oh, yeah. And Bob pointed out, too, that, you know, for our folks in Philadelphia that'll listen on Monday, they had Dr. Gosnell. I think the word doctors just kind of use that word loosely, but there's a lot of scary stuff that goes on in that world. So for all the touting of how it's, you know, free and available and we need to make that available to everyone, doesn't sound like there's a lot of caring in a lot of situations. And programs like yours are all about supporting them long term, not when their kids are in college, but I mean, it isn't just like you're pregnant or you're not, and here's your pregnancy test and see ya. There's a lot more to that.
It's actually they become like part of our family in essence. And what we get comments all of the time, people like, we can't believe how nice everyone is here. We can't believe you guys remember our name. I go to my doctor's office and they don't even know who I am. They're wondering why I'm there. Or, you know, I go to this clinic and I have to start all over with all of my stuff. And it's just the way our team is. It's the spirit of the center. Like, you walk in and it's just different. And so we have the opportunity to walk them through their pregnancy, and we have resources all the way through their child's third year. So it's almost 4 years that we can be in relationship with them if they choose to be in the program that long. And it's pretty phenomenal, the impact that we're having in the hundreds and hundreds of families that we serve. And there are people that just like, hey, I just need pregnancy verification. Absolutely, let's get you everything you need, and what else do you need? And they may have said 5 different ways as we are facilitating their intake information that they need help with food, or they need help with, they're in transitional housing, or they don't have a doctor. And we're able to refer them to all these other places in the community that we're in relationship with. You know, a lot of times we'll find that girls don't have a doctor, they don't have insurance, and they find out they're pregnant. And we are connected to 3 amazing OB clinics that are not, you know, shouting from the rooftops, but they're faith-based. Like, these are legitimate agencies that are in relationship with us that say, you know what, we don't want people to go without care, especially in their first trimester. Refer them to us. We will see them without their insurance, even if it's pending. We'll figure it out. We'll backfill. We'll do whatever we have to do. And the heart of these clinics, as well as ours, is to make sure that people have the care that they need and they are being taken care of. And we've only heard, you know, on the outside from when people have been to the abortion clinic of, hey, this is how I was treated, or they didn't even care, or, you know, and this is a whole other subject matter, how in the world is a surgical procedure for a 12-year-old an outpatient procedure?
Yeah, no kidding.
She doesn't have pre-op, she doesn't have post-op, she doesn't have counseling, she's not meeting with a doctor, and yet they're going to rip a life out of her womb. If you got a skin graft, you would have all of those things that would take place. But when it comes to the subject matter, politically, religiously, whatever category you want to put it in, it gets all convoluted and twisted and hidden. And now all of a sudden it's a secret, no one needs to know. And our heart is that people are making an educated decision. You know, another example would be that if you want an ultrasound, the only way you can have an ultrasound at the abortion clinic is if you say you want to have an abortion. That's so that they can find where the baby is so they know where to take it out.
Oh.
They're not actually showing you the ultrasound and equipping you and educating you on the heartbeat, fetal development, how big the baby is, showing you pictures of development stages and having you make a decision based on that.
Well, it sounds like most of the time it's kind of geared toward a single, we'll call it a goal. We have to take another really quick break. We're going to come right back. We're speaking with Shelley Gibbs from our local CareNet. And you should check in your own community and see what's available for folks in your community that want alternatives to the Planned Parenthood machinery, I guess, for lack of a better word. You can find information about that on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're joining We the People Radio. We are speaking with Shelley Gibbs, Executive Director for CareNet. And Pastor Guy Asherman, our other guest, has arrived. He said 12:45. Apparently, you know.
So it's 12:45.
Apparently, you know your schedule.
Well, I try.
So you and Shelley have spoken together, you know, as a team before.
Yes, we have.
Bunches of times. So, you know,
we're great supporters of Shelley. She does a great job.
Exactly.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi there.
So, Bill had a thing right before the break.
I had a situation here a few months ago at my place of employment. We had a company that came in to service our first aid kit. We have a big kit that hangs on the wall, and somebody had put some aspirin and some antacids in that first aid kit. And he took them out, brought them up to the front counter and said, hey, you can't have these in your first aid kit. You can get sued for administering health care. That's illegal.
Those darn antacids. You never know what's
in
them.
Well, yeah. So I just find it ironic that as an employer, you can't supply an employee with an aspirin or an antacid, but the state says it's okay for a 12- or 13-year-old kid to go in and get an abortion. And I mean a surgical procedure, and not tell their parents. It's just so bizarre. I mean, where are we living?
How long has that been in existence? And is it everywhere, or just in stupid California?
Well, California is actually leading the nation, but there is there's 11 states that have that in place. So there's 39 that don't, and 11 that do, and so we are one of the 11 that allows that for that age group.
Interesting. So in the past, if somebody came in if somebody comes into a center like yours, you know, whether it's a CareNet center or it's something like that, it's a not Planned Parenthood center, you were never required to give abortion as an option, but I'm pretty sure you probably had that conversation a lot of times with people.
No, we do. I mean, it's not every clinic is that way. I mean, we do post in our paperwork that we're very upfront about it. When they come in, and every person that walks in and is requesting a service, they fill out a paperwork, just one sheet, really quick. And it's stated on there that we do not refer for abortions. We're forthcoming about that, but we do discuss their options with them. And so one of their options is abortion, and we do have information. It's actually there's some that are published by non-faith-based entities, and then there's some that are published by faith-based entities. An example of that would be, we have a couple pamphlets that focus on the family, produces and publishes and provides to pregnancy centers, but they got medical doctors and involved in that process, and we have information about the morning after pill and the abortion pill. And then we've obtained it's a flip chart, and that is actually discusses abortion procedures. So we don't stick that in people's faces. We don't, you know, have it right in front of them as soon as they walk in the door and say, here, we're trying to scare you. Or, we don't use scare tactics. We just meet them where they're at. They bring up the subject and they have questions or they want to talk about it. We want to make sure that they get the information.
So the difference in the new law is, even though you were letting them know that abortion was an option, the new law says you have to take it a step further and actually give them a referral for an abortion,
right,
if that's the way they want to go. In the past, you would give them the information, and then they would make that decision and seek out that service somewhere else.
Right.
Okay.
And it's really easy to find it.
Oh, sure. It's,
yeah, no
it's
kidding.
It's not a secret. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you... So, Since you're here with us, what do you see at your church with things like this? What do you hear?
Well, of course, we work very closely with Shelley on some of these issues. Our church is very alarmed. We are trying to strategize a little bit in terms of when they come knocking on our door, what are we going to do? I don't think it's wise to wait until an event takes place. And what's happening, of course, with CareNet here in Reading is impacting our ministry. So it's certainly heightened our awareness and our concern and our teaching, our whole sense of responsibility before God, which is a higher authority than government.
Higher than Jerry Brown?
Much higher. Yeah.
Wow.
So
just wanted to clear that up.
But I think the church as a whole needs to really visit these issues of sovereignty.
Sure.
And what do we do when the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking because, okay, let's say Shelley's facility was an offshoot of your church or sponsored by your church, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a service that you guys provide in your church,
mm-hmm.
but it's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Are you subject to this new law then? Not that you have this, but, you know, if you did.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question, Aaron, because as I understand, and Shelley, please correct me if I'm wrong, but CareNet is a 501c3 charitable religious corporation. It's exactly the same
status as a church.
As churches.
Sure.
Most of them, anyway, 99%.
But if they're
them.
Not technically a church, is that how they're getting away with it? Or?
Well, I don't. Legally, there's no difference.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
And so, you know, so what the church needs to ask itself today is if they can do this there, they can do it anywhere. And we anticipate fully that they are going to. In terms of, you know, how does the situation with CareNet impact Reading Christian Fellowship? I think it impacts all ministries. We all do ministry together.
Sure.
We refer people to Shelley's organization. And if this is the situation, this all impacts, you know, who do we refer to, who do we not refer to? I think what's happening at CareNet now permeates all ministries.
Sure. It's no longer freedom of religion. It's freedom of religion until the state wants to be in control of part of it, in which case they tell you what to do. And then you can still be the boss of the rest of it until they decide they want to be involved in that too.
And here's an interesting thought. Even for people who may not take issue with this particular law, even if somebody is listening and disagrees with Shelley or disagrees with me, they tend to just kind of write it off and say, oh, well, they should not do that. Because, you see, the sacred veil has been pierced.
Yeah, it's coming mm-hmm. for you. Yeah.
And if they can go after them, they can come after me. It may be on a different issue. You know, and if we don't stand together, we'll all hang individually.
So. Mm-hmm.
And so even for people who may disagree on some of the issues, I think it's imperative for all churches to say, this is not okay. Stop. Because, again, the floodwaters are coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's another interesting thought. At least I think it is.
Well, you're far away.
You judge me. What the state does with folks is it holds over their head their approval or disapproval of your message. Okay? If they disapprove of your message, what they say is we will charge you cash monies because you're not doing it the way we want to.
That's what she was saying, like $500 the first round. Or no. You get a warning, then you get 30 days, then it's going to cost you $500.
And so if you think about that, and that would also refer to the area of taxes as well.
Yes.
That, therefore, you've divided ministry into two groups. You have divided ministry into those who are approved by the state and those who are not approved by the state. And when that happens, you have established a state church, which, of course, is obviously in violation of the First Amendment.
Which would be obviously why we came here in the first place.
Yeah. But I think that the government is very, very close to doing that right now. And I don't expect, if things continue the way they're going now, I don't expect that our the law of the land is going to protect us.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been real solid.
No.
In the recent past. We need to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. We got our breaks all fouled up. We were chatting. We chatted through the breaks. Imagine that. We never do that. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Flashbacks.
Yeah.
I'm a woman in love and I love what you do.
We're time traveling, Bob.
I wouldn't be a hit song today.
No, and back then, you totally weren't thinking about all this stuff.
No, not at all.
I completely forgot about that song. Bob never forgets anything. If it's a musical.
Yes.
Like, he's like the vault. All right, Shelley, what are we missing? What have we not discussed with you? We have 2 minutes, so, you know, feel free to expand on anything.
You can take my time, too.
We're sharing.
I think the one thing, it was a kind of a fleeting thought where we ended right before the break, is just that the two main demographics where all of this started, you know, approximately 100 years ago, those same parties, and what I was talking about is Planned Parenthood being in the ghetto with Jews and blacks.
Yep.
It blows my mind, it breaks my heart, and it really needs to be something that we as American people pay attention to. The women, Jewish women of America and black women of America co-sponsored this bill.
What?
So the very people that, where it all started, that demographic, and those were the main numbers, and actually African Americans are the number one demographic of the highest rate of abortions, they are the ones that are actually co-laboring with, you know, the government to say, yes, we're behind this. This needs to happen. Abortions need to be free and accessible to every woman. And so, you know, whatever is going to come at us with government, we just need to be aware of where it's coming from and how it's coming, and that not so much that we spend a ton of time and energy with rebuttals, but that we are prepared, like, hey, you know what, actually, this is what we're doing. And that's been our biggest thing, even with writing declarations for this lawsuit with Pacific Justice Institute, is to say, look, we don't need to focus on all that over there. This is what we're doing. This is how we serve the community. You know, how can you go into Good News Rescue Mission, you know, our local homeless shelter, and say, we don't like the fact that you're preaching the gospel. You should be telling people about Muslims or Islam or the Quran. Like, what's next is my point. And so,
yeah, if they can get their foot in the door.
Right.
Right.
And it just depends on what the subject matter is for the day, what the flavor is of the day. And right now for 16, as we walk into this new year, it's a pretty big subject matter. But we're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep blessing families and helping people right where they're at. And we try to be very good stewards with donors' finances, whether it's monetary or an in-kind donation, and just really get people involved. So we're always in need of volunteers and people getting more exposed to this subject matter in our city.
Well, that's important to know, because there's so many things people can't affect. This is something where you can actually go in and make a huge difference, whether they help you with finances or stuff or time or whatever. So if this is an issue you're passionate about, figure out a way to get involved. It's totally worth it. Thank you so much, Shelley. We hope you're enjoying your... You guys getting to ski up there in Bend, or...
No, I'm not skiing this weekend, but I'm...
Just looking at the snow? Just a snow,
I'm here
a snow
with
licker.
Friends and family. It's been a phenomenal weekend.
Oh,
nice.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
We love you, Shelley.
Thanks very much
Thank
for taking
you.
A break.
Love you, too.
You can find all the information about CareNet and our guests that we just had for the past hour on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.